like you a warm welcome to our service. Celine, it's a privilege for me to share with you and just to join together in worship and particularly come around God's Word. It's great to see that things are slowly getting back to normal, if you can call it that. Just to remind folk that our Sunday school starts next Sunday, the 25th of October. We're going to be having coffee after the service as from next week. And of course, there's always need for caution. And we just remind you to always bring your mask along and just to be careful. And we also want to just highlight that our youth has started again in the evenings, our teenage youth from grades 7 up. And it starts at 7:30, so please send your young people along. And then our life groups are open, and we are starting a few new life groups just to advertise them. Parents with younger children in primary school or lower, there's a Zoom group that started on a Thursday evening with Marius Genis. And then we're also starting a new group for parents with high school children and up, and that will be with Krista and Martin Mee LaRue. And then Arnold Moll is going to start an additional group, a Zoom group for folk who'd like to stay at home. That'll be on Tuesdays, afternoons at 3 o'clock. And then also we have started a new young adults group that meets on a Thursday. Steve Barnsley started that group, and we'd love for you to join these groups if you don't belong to one already. And please contact us or the church office, and we'll give you more information about that. Well, it's great to just be together. Let's just pray, and let's commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you that your desire for us is to live blessed spiritual lives, Lord, to live under your blessing. And Lord, just realize as we come around and your word and look at these Beatitudes, that as we follow them, Lord, that you enrich our lives and you minister to us in a very special way. And Father, just pray that as we go through these Beatitudes, we just pray that and discover authentic spiritual living, Lord, that you would really just change our lives and help us to reflect you in a more positive way. Father, we thank you that we live in a day of great opportunity. Father, I pray that you'd open our eyes to the fields that are white unto harvest. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see the opportune moments that you give us during this pandemic. And Lord, we pray that we'd be able to speak into the life of our community. Lord, we also pray for governments around the world as they tackle the COVID-19 pandemic. We think especially of governments in Europe, that you would guide them forward as they work out the best way forward for their countries. But Father, we thank you. We can rest in you. We can have peace. Lord, we know that you're in control of everything around us, and we just commit ourselves afresh to you. Lord, now we pray that you'd speak into our lives, and Lord, that we'd be able to live under your blessing. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Two men faced each other on the pavement before the governor's palace. One was Jesus Christ, the meekest man that ever lived. The other was Pontius Pilate, a man of extraordinary pride. Jesus appeared as the epitome of weakness, a poor Jew caught on the inexorable tides of Roman history, frail and impotent, a man destined to be obliterated from the earth. Pilate was a personification of Roman power. The tides of history were with Pilate. As part of Rome, he was heir to the earth. The two figures are opposite ends of a tragic paradox. Jesus Christ, the prisoner, was a free man. He was in absolute control. Jesus, the meek, would inherit not only the earth, but the universe. On the other hand, Pilate, the governor, was a prisoner of his own pride. He could not even control his soul. He had no inheritance. Jesus not only taught this paradox, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he also lived it. Jesus was a master of paradox. His teaching is salted with shining contrasts, like first is last, giving is receiving, dying is living, losing is finding. Least is greatest, poor is rich, weakness is strength, serving is ruling. And meekness is strength. We're in our series, True or Authentic Spirituality. We're looking at the spirituality of Jesus. We've been taking a look at the Beatitudes, which is the first part of Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. One writer called the Beatitudes, How to Live Under God's Blessing. And I want to encourage you as we begin to understand these Beatitudes, that as you do that, as you obey the Beatitudes, as you listen to Jesus' teaching, that indeed you'd experience the wonderful blessing of God. We're in the third Beatitude. We've looked at, Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that's the starting point. We've seen, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A pastor was in a restaurant having a meal when he was approached by a lady he hardly knew. She'd gone from table to table. She wanted him to know that she'd spent the previous week visiting people who were housebound. And what a blessing it had been to her. The pastor commended her for her good work. But she interrupted him to say, the blessing you get from visiting people like this is not telling it. The pastor wasn't sure if he'd heard her correctly. Not telling it, he asked. Yes, she replied. But you're telling me, aren't you? He queried. Well, yes, she admitted, but you're the only one I'm telling. He somehow doubted this. The truth was that she was getting a blessing by telling everyone about her ministry to housebound people. The lady was right to say that the blessing one gets for helping others is not by telling it. This is the way one gets solid praise. John 5:44, when only God knows. But she chose to forfeit her true joy. She could not resist the temptation to talk about her endeavors. She wanted to be sure that someone gave her the credit for what she'd done. The credit she'd opted for was the empty praise of people and not from God. This was hardly a demonstration of meekness, what we're talking about today. There is something about our fleshly nature that craves attention from people. How many of us could have had tea with Nelson Mandela or someone else who is famous? Let's say the Queen of England or your personal favorite, Donald Trump, and kept quiet about it. In truth, the honor of meeting Nelson Mandela or the Queen or even Donald Trump assumes that you get to tell your friends. Certainly we all struggle with this. And so I promise I won't entitle the sermon, Humility and How I Attained It. Blessed are the meek. Firstly, meekness is an undoubted attribute. Meekness is easier to describe, but what it's not. The Greek word for meek does not mean weak or spineless or feeble or lifeless or boring. It's not the oily cringing of Charles Dickens, Uriah Heep, who constantly described himself as your humble servant. It is the opposite of self-righteousness and arrogance and haughtiness and smugness and defensiveness. Putting it positively, it means to be gentle, considerate, and unassuming. It is the inner strength to accept criticism without sulking or arguing back. Meekness may largely be a reaction. It is the way we react to unhappy circumstances and difficult people around us, both verbal and non-verbal reaction to criticism. Martin Lloyd Jones, the famous preacher of London, defines meekness as essentially a true view of yourself, expressing itself in attitude and conduct in respect to others. The man who is meek is not even sensitive about himself. He's not always watching himself in his own interests. He's not always on the defensive. We all know about this, do we not? Is it not one of those greatest curses in life as a result of the fall, this sensitivity about self? We spend the whole of our lives watching ourselves, but when a man becomes meek, he is finished with all that. He is no longer worries about himself and what other people say. To be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves because we see that there's nothing worth defending. So we are not on the defensive. All that is gone. The man who is truly, truly meek never pities himself. He's never sorry for himself. Martin Lloyd-Jones goes on to quote the famous John Bunyan, "He that is down need fear no fall." All the Beatitudes are exemplified in us to the degree that the Holy Spirit lives in us, ungrieved and unhindered. We all inherit the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God to the degree that the unhindered Spirit lives within us. For the kingdom of heaven is the conscious presence of God. The degree to which we experience the Beatitudes will be the degree with which we inherit the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God as we saw before. The degree we are poor in spirit, the degree we mourn will be the degree that we are weak. And so firstly, meekness is an undoubted attribute. But secondly, we see that meekness is an undeniable achievement. One thing is for absolute certain, meekness is an achievement of considerable spiritual development. If you are truly meek, it is only because something very, very wonderful has happened, a sovereign working of the Holy Spirit Himself. Meekness is really unnatural. At least it's not a fruit of your temperament or certainly not my temperament. We are talking about an exceedingly rare quality. Jesus had it according to Matthew 11:29. Moses was said to be the meekest man of his day in Numbers 12 and verse 3. True meekness happens when something extraordinary has taken place. The person, him or herself, doesn't even realize it. God has moved in at some stage and gave the person who began with being poor in spirit a quiet promotion. In such a case, perseverance has finished its work. Although future Beatitudes demonstrate even more power of the Spirit, there's something that makes meekness the crown jewels. Sadly, most of us don't get to that point. Why is that? Because we abort the process before it's completed by complaining and becoming bitter and being pretentious, being self-righteous, seeking the credit or for something or pointing a finger at somebody else. The result is that meekness eludes us. An undoubted attribute, an undeniable achievement. And then thirdly, we see that meekness is an unconscious anointing. Meekness is the opposite quality of what the world applauds. The world applauds the search for power and worth and glory. Meekness is not the way political elections are won. Donald Trump is not going to win this election by being meek. Have you ever seen a meek politician? Elections are won by telling everyone why they should be elected and saying everything negative you can think about of your opponent. Polls, in fact, consistently show that an election is won by your opponent having a 35% negative rating, not because you have a positive rating. You win by spreading fear about your opponents. Have you watched Joe Biden and Donald Trump lately? Meekness will not get you elected into a political office. The opposite of meekness is pulling the strings to achieve what God has already promised you. If you pull the strings, God gets off your case. Joseph got high marks for not sleeping with Potiphar's wife. But it wasn't his finest hour when he said to Potiphar's cupbearer, "Remember me, mention me when you get to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison." I reckon God looked down from heaven and said, "Oh, Joseph, I wish you hadn't said that. You're going to need a couple of more years in prison." Meekness will not pull the strings. Those who humble themselves will be exalted in God's timing. Now, it's interesting that Jesus alludes to Psalm 37 and verse 11. "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." Perhaps you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37, verses 4 to 7. These are special verses, and they're worth underlining or highlighting in your Bible. Psalm 37 and verse 4 to verse 7. "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness, your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So meekness is an unconscious anointing. If a person thinks, if a person is truly meek, it is because God has brought such people to a higher spiritual level. They're not aware of themselves. You may be aware of being broken, but you're never aware of being meek. In this particular beatitude, Jesus describes a virtue that one doesn't feel. And if you think you've got it, you've just lost it. It's like the illustration that the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon used. I looked to Christ and the dove flew in. I looked to the dove and he disappeared. The moment you become conscious of a virtue or are looking over your shoulder to see what people think of you, any meekness that you may have had or have been present evaporates at once. Meekness is entirely an unconscious sense of God. You might ask, what is the point of having meekness if you can't feel or enjoy it? It's like the eye of the slave that looks to the hand of its master. We read about that in Psalm 123. The ancient slave lived for that. He never ever took his eye off the master's hand. The slave lived for one thing, to be ready when his master snapped his finger. The slave was unconscious of everything else around him. He only looked at the master's hand. And we too need to do the same thing. Psalm 123 verses 1 and 2 tells us, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us mercy. We don't want to miss his signal. We don't want to become deaf to his voice. We want to be ready when he calls us. This is the meekness Jesus is talking about that will keep us ready for his call. What does meekness really look like? Well, Moses was said to be the meekest man on earth. In Numbers 12 and verse 3, the NIV says he was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. The word used in the Greek Septuagint is the same word that is used in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Moses was truly meek. What was it about Moses that earned him that kind of description? The answer is partly this, that Moses interceded for Israel when they turned against him. He went to God and pleaded on their behalf when they were disobedient at Kadesh Barnea. God made a proposition to Moses in Numbers chapter 14 to destroy the Israelites and start all over again with a new nation. But Moses said no. In so many words, Moses said, Lord, you must not destroy them. Your great name is at stake. What will they say about you in Egypt? They will say you were not able to deliver your people. So I say to you, forgive them. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 12 to 19. And it tells us that God answered Moses' prayer. The psalmist in Psalm 106 verse 23 picked up on this event. So he, referring to God, said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. I think that if I was in Moses' position, I would have felt like saying, Lord, just go straight ahead. It would have been a hard call for me if God had offered me this. Perhaps you feel the same way about people maybe you dislike, maybe someone at work or somebody you'd even describe as your enemy. But Moses, on his own, without fanfare or calling attention to himself, pleaded for the survival and forgiveness of the very people who had opposed him. That is meekness. Asking God to bless your enemy. Asking God to bless the person that's given you a tough and hard time. When you really mean it, that is meekness. Is what Jesus did in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. One occasion, Moses' face shone with radiance that everyone took notice of. Everyone knew about it except Moses himself. In fact, Exodus 34 verse 29 says, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. When testifying to the Sanhedrin, Stephen's face, according to Acts 6 and verse 15, shone like that of an angel. I doubt that Stephen was aware of it. I do know that, like Moses, he prayed for his enemies. The secret of Stephen's anointing was revealed at the end of his life. Acts 7, verse 59 to 60, while being stoned, Stephen prayed, "Lord, do not hold the sin against them." And then he died. What a way to die. And then this Abraham was also meek. Abraham showed meekness when he showed graciousness towards his nephew Lot. He said to Lot in Genesis 13, verse 8 to 9, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, and I'll go to the right, and if you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Abraham was placed his future in the hands of God. That was the difference between him and Lot, who went for what looked best. That's certainly meekness, leaving everything, our gifts, our cause, our whole future in the hands of God, especially if we feel that we are suffering unjustly. An undoubted attribute, an undeniable achievement, an unconscious anointing, and then meekness is an unpretentious attitude. Have you ever tried to describe Jesus in one word? Other than using his divine attributes, I would say the best word perhaps is unpretentious. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 7 that Jesus made himself nothing. In the words of the King James Version, Jesus made himself of no reputation. The last thing Jesus tried to do was to impress people. Yet the amazing thing about Jesus was his approachability. What was it that would cause the leper, the most rejected kind of person in that day, to feel he could go right up to Jesus, then kneel before him and expect to be accepted? That's exactly what happened. Immediately after this great Sermon on the Mount was over, and the crowds had gone on their way, a leper somehow knew that Jesus would not reject him. The leper said in Matthew 8, verses 2 to 3, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus replied, "I am willing," and cured the man on the spot. I wish you could mediate the kind of impression that Jesus gave, that anyone could approach me and feel totally accepted. In respect to his own person, he never practiced retaliation or vindication. When Jesus was mocked and spat upon, he said nothing. When he was betrayed by his closest friends, he uttered no reproach. When Peter denied him three times, he restored him. When Judas kissed him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he called him a friend. And in the throes of death, Jesus pleaded, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yet when it came to the faith and welfare of others, Jesus was a lion. He rebuked the Pharisees. He drove the money changers from the temple with a whip. He called Simon Peter Satan when he sought to deter him from his heavenly mission. Jesus was given the unhindered, ungrieved spirit without measure. He consequently had total control over his tongue, his temperament, even his thoughts. He enjoyed perfect liberty. The greatest liberty is to have nothing to prove. Jesus felt no need to prove anything or to prove himself. When the Holy Spirit controls us, our egos, when our egos get out of the picture, it's like a spy with the CIA or the MI6. The spy is never seen. When Ronald Reagan occupied the Oval Office, there was a plaque on his desk that read the following: "There is no limit how far a person can go, as long as he does not care who gets the credit for it." An unpretentious attitude. And finally, an unparalleled attainment. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Inherit the earth. That is what it means to have the kingdom. To inherit the kingdom is to inherit everything that belongs to Jesus. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, we are his brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans 8:17 says we are co-heirs with Christ. we inherit in a future sense. On earth, we receive God's anointing, and one day we'll enjoy our inheritance in heaven. Said Paul the Apostle in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory of that which will be revealed in us. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. So trials will seem so small when we behold Him and His glory. A man who is truly meek is a man who has found satisfaction, having nothing and yet having all. The Apostle Paul put it like this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is a man who has found peace within. Max Lucado writes, he was a professional. His name stirred fear as the desert wind stirs the tumbleweeds. He terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line 13 years, roaring like a tornado in and out of the Sierra Nevadas, spooking the most rugged frontiersmen. In journals from San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. During his reign of terror between 1875 and 1883, he's credited with stealing the bags and the breath from 29 different stagecoach crews. He did it all without firing a shot. His weapon was his reputation. His ammunition was intimidation. A hood hid his face. No victim ever saw him. No artist ever sketched his features. No sheriff could ever track his trail. He never fired a shot or took a hostage. He didn't have to. His presence was enough to paralyze. Black Bart, a hooded bandit armed with a deadly weapon. He reminds me of another thief, one who is still around. You know him. Oh, you've never seen his face either. You couldn't describe his voice or sketch his profile. But when he's near you, you know it in a heartbeat. If you've ever been in a hospital, you felt the leathery brush of his hand against yours. If you've ever sensed someone was following you, you've felt his cold breath down your neck. You've awakened late at night in a strange room. It was his husky whisper that stole your slumber. You know him. It was this thief who left your palms sweaty as you went for your job interview. It was this con man who convinced you to swap your integrity for popularity. And it was this scoundrel who whispered in your ear as you left the cemetery, you may be next. He's the Black Bart of the soul. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your diamonds. He won't go after your car. He wants something far more precious. He wants your peace of mind, your joy. His name, fear. His task is to take your courage and leave you timid and trembling. His modus operandi is to manipulate you with the mysterious, to taunt you with the unknown. Fear of death, fear of failure, fear of God, fear of tomorrow. His arsenal is vast. His goal, to create a cowardly, joyless soul. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. Colossians 3 and verse 3. Black Bart, as it turns out, he was nothing to be afraid of either. When the hood came off, there was nothing to fear. When the authorities finally tracked down the thief, they didn't find a bloodthirsty bandit from Death Valley. They found a mild-mannered druggist from Decatur, Illinois. The man the papers pictured storming through the mountains on horseback was, in reality, so afraid of horses, he rode to and from his robberies in a buggy. He was Charles E. Bowles, the bandit who never once fired a shot because he never once loaded his gun. Meekness and unparalleled attainment. How do we know when we are truly meek? In the words of Martin Lloyd-Jones, the man who is truly meek is the man who is amazed at God and man. can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you're working in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to understand the meekness and this depth of the spirituality. Father, we know that you're calling us to a deeper spirituality at this time of lockdown. Lord, you're drawing us to yourself. And Father, I pray at this time that as you speak into our lives by your Spirit, Lord, that you'd build our character, that you'd build our spirituality. Father, our heart desire is to grow deeper in our relationship with you. And friend, while we bowed, won't you just pray to the Lord, if God has spoken to you by his Spirit this time, if he's spoken to your life, won't you just pray and for a moment in this quietness of this moment and ask God to continue his work in your life. Oh, our God longs to bless us. Blessed are the meek because they will inherit the earth. What a great promise. Won't you just pray right now as the Lord ministers to you. Father, we thank you that you are a God who desires that we would grow in our depth of our relationship, our spirituality, that we would have true spirituality. Father, we thank you that we can ask you to develop this characteristic of meekness without us even knowing. Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you. And Lord, we invite you to do your deep work in our lives. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.